the others that will be able to answer some questions, right? We'll be bouncing some of these questions around. And any comments from some of you, brethren, young or old? What is here, next. Right. 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 Okay, well, that's a good question. And we are going to use this as our basis for, I believe it's tomorrow morning session, the example of worship and touch on some of those subjects. But very briefly, we could perhaps make the observation that he was certainly moving in obedience to the direction of God. He was responding to the Lord's special work. It says that God did tempt or test Abraham, and so he was responding to the call of God. That was one thing he was doing in his worship. The second thing, it appears, he was going to offer a burnt offering. And what he understood about the burnt offering, I don't know if it's entirely clear from the part up to that, but it was obvious if we trace sort of the references to offerings going back to the time of Cain and Abel, it was evident that he knew something of this idea of offering in sacrifice to God. We know that God told him, and I'm giving tomorrow's message now, so you can all sleep in. We know that God told him to go to a place. That's mentioned a couple of times. The place was very important. It wasn't just go and worship or go here. It was the place that's mentioned. It's mentioned in verse 2. It's mentioned in verse 3. It's mentioned in verse 4, 9. We'll cover that. Verse 14 tomorrow. There was something he knew about this place that God called him to. And then obviously, as we mentioned, the offering, the sacrifice was involved. The burnt, the wood, the fire, the idea of God providing a lamb, he must have known something about that. Now, I don't know if I've gone into all the details, because I would like to cover it a little more this morning, but, or tomorrow morning, but, it's evident that he was responding to what God was calling him to. God was calling him to go to that place. And he was responding to God. And how much he knew of God and how much detail and what it was in Abraham's mind to go and worship, it's obviously something about suffering because of the sacrifice. He seemed to know about substitution. God will provide himself a lamb. He obviously knew about obedience. He knew about testing. We'll cover some of these in more detail tomorrow. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but it, yeah, okay. Preparation, yeah. Right. Right, right. It's to the cross. Now, is it somewhere in here and then back to Art? Brother Art? Yes, brother.
I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit more on the distinction you're drawing.
Right. Right, right. 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 Right, right. This is the distinction between worship, worship and service. Okay. Well, before I do that, anybody else have a comment on that? This distinction of worship and service.
One of the words for worship is
right. 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 That's very good. That is true. Herman, were you going to say something? Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. 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 Yeah. Certainly, you know, where we see that in, for instance, although it doesn't directly, I don't think it applies directly in this, what we would say dispensation, but certainly remember, when the Lord Jesus speaks about the judging of the nation, and in Matthew 24, he speaks about the judge, or Matthew 25, that's the well-known passage at the end of it, verse 45, it says, then shall ye answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Verse 40, I guess, that was the negative statement, verse 40. And the king shall answer, saying to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I think that's referring to the nations, and in particularly the Jews during the tribulation period, but the principle there is that what was done to the people of God was done directly to God. As he saw that. He saw as they treated the people of God well, they were really dealing with God himself. So there's a sense in which our service can be an expression of worship. And we don't want to, you're right, we don't want to go from one extreme to the other, to think that worship is alone when we gather on a Sunday morning. But nonetheless, it certainly includes that. The one extreme is to think that always involved in sort of evangelism or teaching or other kinds of things, that all those activities done for the Lord, well, that's our expression of worship. And it can be. But there is more to worship than that. And of course, the other extreme would be to sort of think that really all we have to do is sort of sit and have nice thoughts about God, but never go out and do anything for him. So, the question of balance. I don't know if that, if you wanted to add anything to that, or, now Art, just 1 second here, brother, Art, no? Hey, brother Guy. Right. 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 Yeah, that's true. That is true. I mean, that is an example of worship, we might say in the scriptures. Certainly. So that really goes back to Abel. I think would probably be maybe the evidence, say where he really obeyed God in his sacrifice would have been an act of worship. And Noah as well, likewise, yes. Those are certainly examples of worship. Good point. Anything else? Yes, brother. I've ever taken part in the Lord's Supper and sat down and thought to myself, boy, you did a good job. I don't think that's ever happened to me, and I hope it never does.
I had thoughts that were inappropriate.
Yeah, well.
And I had to get to the Lord and say,
good thing to recognize it. Brother at the back. Okay, could you elaborate that question for me? Right, right. Well, I think let's hear what some of the other brethren say, but I think again it's like the Athenians, you know, they worship the unknown God. There was something in them that knew there was a consciousness of God, but it was misdirected. And of course Romans tells us when man that's a common theme throughout the scripture really. Romans tells us that the knowledge of God as the creator, what does it say? They weren't thankful. And they started turning God into an image and into four-footed beasts and creatures, and they wanted to bring the Creator down to the level of the creature. They had that consciousness, they had that response. And the Roman epistle, of course, is the condemnation of the sin of man that shows that having the light of the knowledge of God to turn from it. The Athenians were doing the same thing. They would not recognize the true God. Paul says, I'm going to tell you who the true God is. And I would say that that is probably what she was thinking there, but I'm open to what any of the other brethren have to say on that first. Yes, brother. Right. 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 The other was the place. No, good. Be what we know now, and follows along that the emphasis is as this brother guy has mentioned here. It's not a place, it's not a physical place, it's a spiritual exercise, which of course is not confined to a geographical location. The things the Lord makes there. Yeah, very good. Yeah, to the Brother Jim, is it? Right. Yeah. Yeah, Cain's a man of works, you know, works that, and you see, if you follow Cain, you get into, we want to get diverted into Cain tonight, but, you know, you get into Jude. Boy, this Cain is the epitome of hatred, you know, hatred against God. Art. Any other comments or questions? I think sometimes there are lots of believers, I'm sure, who have maybe thought when we get to heaven, it'd be a great thing to be able to talk to Moses or Abraham or Noah, some of these men, Elijah. We might be quite inquisitive about their miracles and things that they saw happen, but the truth of the matter could very well be that there will be many believers of other dispensations who will be keenly interested in what it was like to live in the church age, to hear about the fact that we had no priests, that we were priests, that we had the Word of God, that we did not go to a place to worship in that sense, a geographical location, but we had the privilege of going into the presence of God performing a priestly ministry. They're not going to be interested in talking about the sea opening up and animals in the ark and all that kind of thing. They're going to say, what was it like to be able to do that? And I wonder how we would answer that. What is it like? Do we know something about that? The tremendous privilege in this time in which we live and what God has done for us as we exercise that royal priesthood. Now we'll get into some of that tomorrow. Any comments, questions? Yeah, that's right. And we're marveling too.
And I think also, there's mostly, I mean, out there, they're getting on the word, spoken the word, and they don't understand. And they don't need trading everything. And it's not maybe not properly,
right. 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 Sure. Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're not to be critics of the light that others have. We're to be responsible for the light that we have. There have been some great giants in the history of the church that never saw the truth of gathering as we see it as New Testament assemblies. I mean, here we are, a bunch of, you know, here I am speaking for everybody, but a bunch of nobody. And, you know, there have been some giants in the history, and they never saw it. You know, they just never saw it. And for whatever reason, the point of history, the movement of God at that time, but, you know, we're responsible for what we know, but we have to recognize it's not about what good worshipers we are. It's about more about Christ, you know. Are you stretching or asking a question? Okay. Sure. An unsaved customer of mine said to me one day, you know, I haven't watched television or listened to the radio for 3 weeks, read a newspaper. Because you wouldn't believe how much less stress there has been in my life. I should have been telling him that, instead of him telling me that. We're bombarded constantly, aren't we, with noise. We got to have the radio. We got to check the email. We got to see what's on CNN. We got to know all this stuff. Doesn't matter at the end of the day. I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed, but it's good time to, it's good for us to have time to be quiet. Brother. Right. There you go. What? Okay. All right. I'll just mention a couple more books before I do that. I'm a great bookseller. I'm not selling books here today. This is not my, not all these books are here. A great one by Bill McDonald, Alone in Majesty. Another one was On the Table. If somebody Scoops Up the Worship and Remembrance, Worship God by Robert Sykes. Very helpful, folks. Consider purchasing those. Let's close in prayer. Oh, our Father, we do bless Thee this evening for ever showing us the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of His words, He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And all that we see of Him, we see the portrayal of a wonderful God that causes us, our Father, to worship Thee. We feel our inadequacies in all of this, Lord. We know sometimes that we can hardly stay focused on Thee, that we allow such trivial things to dominate our minds. We allow ourselves to become anxious and worry over things as if there was no God who cared for us. O God, help us to draw away from the busyness of life, that we might be men who worship God, not just Sunday morning, but 7 days of the week, to know something of giving God what is rightfully His, reminding Thee again of the wonder and glory of Christ. We ask for Thy blessing now upon our time together. We thank Thee for this refreshment, for the fact that this is another evidence of Thy provision for us. Give us a good night's rest, we pray, and give us help us to awake refreshed and alert as we consider this. Consider Thy word further tomorrow, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that was Hannah's prayer. If you noticed it, she says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside Thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." And that came out of her trial, remember, with the child. But she sort of got beyond that today. Look what God is. Look what God has done on the whole picture. Of course, the work of redemption is it sort of captures everything, doesn't it? Like, we see what Christ has done. We might say that is the pinnacle. We see the heart of God laid bare for us in giving His Son for us. But it is true, there is a wide, broad picture of what the Lord is. You know, what the Lord is, as Larry has pointed out to us. And these are the things as we go through weekly, through every day of the week, the things of the Lord that we need to be thinking about. And not necessarily so much in framing it as, this is what I might say at the Lord's Supper. It is really the whole, and that, of course, a heart that is filled with God through the week as individuals is going to pour out on a Sunday morning. It's not a matter of just saying, well, here's kind of the Lord's Supper kind of verses, or here's the Lord's Supper kind of prayers. You know, it needs to be full of God all week long. Somebody over here, I thought, was kind of like Herman, yeah. Now, a question like that from Herman already has an answer. I think you're aware of that, eh? Well, they're like the question period, it's not the answer period, but... Well, first of all, in the Genesis passage, I think we see he was pointing him that mountain in the land of Moriah was a very important place. As we see later on in the scripture, it was the association with Jerusalem and of Calvary itself. But ultimately, it would be sort of in that place. There's also a sense in which, in our day, of course, we don't go to a geographical place. But there is also a sense that we come... and we'll get into this a little more in our corporate worship. But there's a sense in which the gathering of believers constitutes a place where we come as corporate worship. I'm almost going to use the word sort of official corporate worship, but I don't want you to read too much into that. We come as a gathered body, Now again, you see, your questions are forcing me into the next section, but we come as a corporate body. There's a certain authority in that. Meeting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an order that goes along with that. There are, I'm going to use the word rules, but that's not really a good word, but nonetheless, there are certain guidelines laid down in the Scripture that when we come together as a collective body, as an assembly of God's people, there is a divinely appointed order. We get that from the Corinthian epistle, I think, very clearly. There's a sense in which we meet together in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's not some words we just sort of tack on the wall or repeat over and over. That means something. We meet under His authority. And so with the Lord Jesus as Lord, as head of the body, Lord of us, Lord of our individual lives, the head of the body, we meet together under that authority, and one of the things we do is we worship the Lord. Now, I don't know if that's coming close to what you have in mind or not. Maybe you want to add to that, Herman. Right. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Hebrews 2. Not chapter 2, but Hebrews also. It's that, Art. Oh, yeah. Okay. Good. Right. Yeah. Very good. Right. God will provide Himself. You know, Himself the Lamb. He's going to be the Lamb. Brother Darrell, yeah.
Well, Herman said that basically in private worship or in corporate worship, even in private worship, the veil was rent. That we enter in the Holy Spirit. We've been granted that through the Lord Jesus Christ. The place, the Holy Spirit, at the foot of the throne. Corporate worship, we said, for two or three are gathered together, speaking of the church, not just for a bunch of people gathered together up on the beach. But the church is gathered together, two or three in my name, there I am in the midst. There is no worship outside the presence of God.
Very good, yeah, very good. Very good. Right. Presence of God, yeah, right. Yes. I would say yeah, that's certainly a help. That certainly is one of the sort of the elements of that of the gathering. The bread and the wine. Right. Just doing a remembrance of me. Right. Yeah, very good. Okay, well, there's no more comments at this time. Are we getting close to our time frame here? I guess we have a little time yet. There's no more comments. Is there a break now till 10:15? Okay.